Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, He Chose Her First, A Billionaire Divorce Romance of Betrayal, Divorce Papers. And The Wife He Had to Win, backed by Linda Rose, is a contemporary billionaire romance centered on marriage breakdown, public humiliation, and the difficult path to reconciliation. The story follows a wife who has spent years in silence, only to reveal that she protected her husband and helped sustain the success attached to his name while receiving little emotional care in return. When betrayal becomes impossible to ignore, divorce papers enter the picture and the relationship shifts from dependence to confrontation. As a genre romance, the book is built around emotional escalation, regret, and the question of whether trust can be rebuilt after it has been damaged by neglect and dishonesty. It fits squarely within marriage in crisis and Grovel romance traditions, but it places strong emphasis on the heroine's refusal to remain passive. The result is a story about love, power, and self-respect in the aftermath of being overlooked. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Now, firstly, betrayal is tied to both emotional neglect and public shame. The central conflict is not limited to infidelity or a single deceptive act. The book frames betrayal as a broader pattern of emotional abandonment, social humiliation, and being treated as disposable within the marriage. That structure matters because it makes the breakup feel cumulative rather than sudden. The heroine is not reacting to one incident alone. She is responding to years of being made to feel secondary, while her husband remains insulated by status and success. This gives the story a sharper emotional logic than a simple cheating romance. Public embarrassment intensifies the wound because the harm is visible and social, not private. In billionaire romance, wealth often magnifies conflict, and here that is used to show how reputation and power can worsen personal injury. The result is a narrative where the real betrayal is not only romantic disloyalty, but the failure to protect a spouse who has quietly carried the relationship and the company behind it. Secondly, the heroine's hidden contribution gives the divorce stakes economic weight. A key element of the book is the revelation that the wife did far more behind the scenes than her husband recognized. According to the available description, she lied in a way that protected his company and helped build the foundation that supported his public success. This detail is important because it changes the power dynamic of the marriage. She is not merely the wronged spouse asking for sympathy. She is someone whose labor, intelligence, and sacrifice were essential to the empire he claimed as his own. In billionaire romance, financial power often belongs to the male lead, but this story uses that convention to expose how invisible support can be misread as dependence. The divorce, therefore, becomes more than a breakup. It becomes a reckoning over credit, value, and ownership of the life they built together. Her silence is not weakness. It is evidence of how much she absorbed in order to keep everything functioning. That makes her departure feel like the removal of a support structure he never properly appreciated. Thirdly, divorce papers function as a reset of power, not just a plot device. The divorce is presented as a decisive act of self-definition. Rather than remaining in a cycle of disappointment and waiting, the heroine chooses to leave and formalize that choice through legal separation. In romance fiction, divorce papers often serve as a dramatic trigger, but here they also symbolize a refusal to keep performing loyalty without reciprocity. The legal document matters because it makes her boundary concrete. It is no longer possible for the marriage to survive on assumptions, promises, or emotional leverage. And A, the husband must confront the reality that access to her is no longer automatic. That shift is central to the book's emotional structure. It also helps separate remorse from redemption, since regret alone cannot erase the formal decision she has made. The story uses divorce not simply to create tension, but to reset the relationship so that any reconciliation would have to be based on accountability rather than entitlement. This gives the second chance arc more weight than a simple reunion would have. Fourthly, quiet strength defines the heroine more than victimhood does. Although the premise is built on betrayal, the book appears to be most interested in the heroine's internal resistance. She is not written as someone who endlessly begs to be loved or rescued. Instead, her power comes from silence that eventually turns into action. That progression is important because it prevents the story from reducing her to a passive victim. She can endure humiliation, but she is not defined by it forever. Her choice to walk away signals that self-worth becomes more important than preserving appearances or protecting a marriage that has already become emotionally unsafe. This kind of characterization is common in modern marriage and crisis romance, but here it is sharpened by the emphasis on public disgrace and secret labor. The heroine's strength is quiet rather than theatrical, which makes it feel earned. She does not need to dominate the narrative to command it. Her refusal to wait to be chosen again is the strongest statement the book makes about dignity, especially in a genre where female suffering can sometimes be romanticized. Lastly, the second chance arc depends on earned regret rather than instant forgiveness. The book's romance framework is built around the idea that reconciliation cannot happen through apology alone. The available description repeatedly suggests that the husband must win her back, which implies a relationship repair process that is conditional, difficult, and emotionally costly. That is what distinguishes this story from a simple reunion plot. The heroine does not owe forgiveness, and the narrative seems to acknowledge that trust must be rebuilt through painful truth rather than sentimental gestures. This makes the romance more aligned with Grovel and redemption subgenres, where the male lead must confront the damage he caused instead of expecting his title, wealth, or longing to be enough. The emotional appeal comes from whether recognition can arrive soon enough and whether accountability can replace the old imbalance. As a result, the second chance is not a guarantee. It is a test that creates stronger tension than a standard happily ever after structure, because the story treats love as something that must prove itself after failure, not something that automatically survives it. In conclusion, He Chose Her First will appeal most to readers who enjoy emotionally charged billionaire romance, marriage in crisis stories, and second chance plots where the heroine is not willing to accept shallow remorse. It is especially suited to readers who want a betrayal romance with a strong emphasis on female self-respect, public humiliation, and the hard work of rebuilding trust. The book offers the familiar pleasures of the genre, including wealth, status, emotional spectacle, and romantic regret. But it distinguishes itself by centering the wife's perspective and by treating her departure as an act of clarity rather than collapse. That gives the story more bite than a routine Grovel romance, because the conflict is not only whether the husband wants her back, but whether he deserves access to the life she helped sustain. For readers who value emotional accountability, this makes the novel more satisfying than stories that rush too quickly into forgiveness. It stands out by making the heroine's boundaries meaningful, and by linking romance to power, truth, and earned redemption, rather than convenience alone. If you would like to support Linda Rose, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.